Good morning, North Park. How are we this morning? Good, good. If you don't know me, my name is Lewis. I'm one of the pastors here. And we're going through the middle of a series on spiritual disciplines, as you might know. And this morning, I would like to start with a question. Why do we serve as the body of Christ? This morning, we're going to be talking about the spiritual discipline of service. And oftentimes when we think of spiritual disciplines, we can think of them in terms of Bible reading and prayer and memory, which those are all great things, but there are also spiritual disciplines that take shape in the context of relationships and people. And so this morning, begin with a question, why do we serve? Because when I survey my life, serving the local church changed the trajectory of my life. In middle school, I wanted to be a concept artist. I was really into drawing, primarily pencil and graphite. And I remember looking at the illustrations of the movie The Matrix. And concept artists, what they do is they take the concepts that the writers and the creators have, and they create these elaborate, beautiful illustrations. And I was like, that's what I want to do as a middle schooler. I had that desire. When I got into high school, that changed, and that changed because of a Bible teacher. His name was Mr. J, and Mr. J and I had a common interest in music, primarily the band Nirvana. You might be familiar. And up to this point, I had taken piano lessons, so I'd kind of dabbled, but never really been terribly interested in piano. I was really into rock music, and rock music is fueled by the guitar. And so we had the shared interest of Nirvana. And he brought his guitar to class one day. And he taught me the bass line to Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I remember that that was like a gateway. And I vividly remember that I realized that I could make music. And I could make music that I enjoyed. And so for the next 2 weeks, he continued to bring his guitar. And for the next 2 weeks, I continued to sit in the hallway during lunchtime and plunk out that same four-note bass line. It's not incredibly elaborate or creative. It probably drove people crazy because I would just sit in the hallway and I would plunk out those four notes. And my parents, they fueled my growing love for playing music. They bought me a bass, and then they bought me an electric guitar and an acoustic guitar. And I took lessons, my love deepened, I got better, and it became an obsession. And it became an obsession that God would use. So my junior year of high school, the youth group's worship leader that we'd had for some time, he just up and left. And my pastor looked at me, my youth pastor looked at me and said, "You're it. You're the guy now." I didn't know if I could sing. He didn't know if I could sing. We just both knew that I could play the guitar, and that was fine. And so he threw me up there, and the next week I was on stage, and I was figuring it out. And as a shy, introverted kid, it was like, it was both exhilarating and terrifying, and like, I'm way out of my comfort zone. But he got me serving in the church, and I loved it. And I learned a lot, and I grew a lot. And I grew a lot through serving. I look back at that time, and that was pivotal for my spiritual formation and transformation. So again, I ask the question, why do we serve? There can be a lot of reasons why, but guilt should not be one of them. We don't do it because we have to. I believe that we do it because we get to. Serving the local church is for our joy and the benefit of others. So I've seen this in my own life, and I've seen this in the life of others. When people serve, I do believe that people grow. Just hands down, I believe that. When people grow, the whole community prospers. Whatever local church that you may find yourselves in, if this is not your body, when people come together and they serve, they grow and the church grows. So quite a few of you serve outside of the local church, and that's great. However, this morning we're narrowing the context to serving within the local church. And so why should someone serve the local body? Paul addresses that question. You can turn in your Bibles if you want to 1 Corinthians 12. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses a brilliant metaphor. He refers to the body of Christ as, well, a body. Similar to our own human bodies. So we're going to start in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians. And I'll read it for us. We're going to read verses 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. There's a lot that we could talk about and we could pull from these verses. Here's what I'd like to highlight. There's the same God, but different gifts. That we're not all the same. And because of that, because we're not all the same, we all have something to contribute to the body of Christ. There are countless gifts given to the church. That could be teaching, that could be cleaning, that could be writing, that could be baking, mowing, whatever, administration. But they're all for the greater body and for the greater good. I love, when I think of serving within the local church, I love the illustration used in Acts 6, and I'll just summarize it for us. But there's a dispute that arises within the local church. And the apostles who are serving the word of God, they don't have time to administrate and divvying out the serving of food. That someone needed to serve the spiritual food, which is the word of God, but they needed someone to serve the physical food, like people's physical nourishment. What this tells us, it uses the same Greek word there. What it tells us is that one act of service is not better than the other, that both needed to be nourished, both the physical needs of the person, but also the spiritual needs. Both are needed and both are important. And so we all have something to offer because everyone has a gift. Later on in the sermon, I'm going to go over some practical ways that you might be able to use to determine what your gifts are and how you can bless the church. Because through their use, we bless others. Our gifts are most enjoyed when they are most shared. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. We receive to give. We are gifted to bless others, to be a blessing to the church. Service is the good for everyone, you and others. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. When we think of Israel, this was true of Israel on a national stage. Israel was blessed to be a blessing. This is true of us in Eugene, that we are blessed to be a blessing. But in order to be a blessing, that there must be first participation. A healthy body requires participation from each member. When all members of a body participate for its good, that's when there's health, right? So I'm healthy as of right now because each member is contributing to the overall success of the unit that is my body. That's why I think Paul's metaphor is brilliant because it applies to us as well. That if we want to be healthy as North Park Community Church, it requires that each of us serve however we can, however it looks like for us, and we'll talk about that later. So in order for a body to be healthy, it requires the work of each part. And whether we like it or not, we are one body. We see this in verses 12 through 16. Let's read it together. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. These verses tells us many things, but one of them is whether we like it or not, we are a part of the local church, whether here or wherever you may find yourself, you are part of the body. And that has certain implications. What if one of the parts ceased to function? It would be bad. And you could say, perhaps, well, I'm the appendix. Nobody is the appendix here. That's not how the body of Christ works. We all have a role. We all have a function. And you may not realize how important your part is in the body of Christ. You may not realize how important your service could be for the body of Christ. For the sake of argument, let's assume that you're something small, perhaps a tooth, okay? I don't know about you, but I've had several toothaches and they really hurt. And they dominate my thinking. It makes it hard to do other things. If I lose a tooth, it makes life miserable. Something as simple as chewing food becomes really difficult. The rest of my body feels the pain of something small like a toothache or losing a tooth. No member of the body goes unnoticed. It can also be easy to say, well, I don't need to serve. Someone else is already doing that. So either there appears to be no room or I don't want or need to do it. I think of my own life and my relationship with my wife. We have this running joke with the dishes where sometimes I'll do them for a period. Sometimes she'll do them for a period. But regardless, we stop caring when the other person is doing it and we can become really lackadaisical. Like food doesn't get scraped off of the dishes or the dishes don't get rinsed or they don't get stacked because, well, the other person is doing that, right? The irony is that if we just both did our part, it would get done much faster and it would leave us both able to do other things that we would prefer to do. So if someone is already doing something great, I would encourage you, maybe they need help, ask them. As the adage goes, many hands make light work, right? If they don't need help, what else could be done? What else could be done to serve the body? So how can you be a blessing to the church? Because whether you like it or not, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are now a part of the body of Jesus. And you've been given a gift. I really believe that. Well, like I said, talk about that later. But you've been given a gift. A certain set of unique skills and abilities that you can contribute. Maybe we just need to be creative about it. And so I encourage you to find a space to use it. As I said before, each part is essential, but this is also important that we don't get to determine other people's gifts. We don't get to tell somebody what piece of the body they are or that they're not needed. We see this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. One member of the body, the eye, cannot say to another member of the body, the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I'd like to unpack this a little more. We all have our dreams and our desires and our visions for what church could be like, and these are not bad. I do believe that they might tell us more about ourselves than another person. God gifts the church what it needs. This is one of my firm convictions, that God gifts the local church with what it needs for that time. Not what we think it needs. And I believe that this truth has implications. And I would like to use, I was a worship pastor for several years. And so I'd like to use worship teams as an example for this. So within contemporary Christian music, there's this like ideal worship band. And it usually consists of the following: a drummer, a bass player, two electric guitar players, a male singer, a female singer, two keyboardists, maybe some percussion, right? It's kind of this like stacked band. And this has been popularized by bands like Hillsong, you know, others. And it's not to knock it, but most churches are not Hillsong. In fact, only one church is Hillsong, and that's Hillsong. A few years ago, I was leading a worship ministry, and everything changed because of COVID. And so we didn't have the ideal band. We couldn't scrap together a drummer, a bass player, two electrics, two keyboardists, blah, 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 blah. And so what did we do? Did we strive and force to make the ideal happen? Or did instead we ask, what do we have here? What has God given us already? If God gifts the church, we have what we need right now for this season in our life. And so what had God given us? He'd given us a lot of singers. He had given us a double bass player and a violinist and a piano player, and we leaned into that. If God gifts the church with what it needs, we must have needed that at that time. And so I didn't make our violin player learn the drums. That would have been crazy because she was an amazing violin player. I didn't make her learn drums. I didn't make our double bass player learn keyboard. These were skilled musicians with gifts, and so we let their gifts breathe. We let their gifts exhibit and come out. Their unique gifts, the gifts that only they could give the church at that time. The same goes for North Park. Each of you, whether you believe it or not, you have a gift. You have skills, you have abilities to provide the church. It's something that only you can offer. And it's a part of your discernment and reflection to figure out what are those things? And maybe you and I have a conversation, like how could those get worked out in the context of North Park? Some people like to teach. I'm one of them. So is my wife. Yet I'm not going to tell any of you that you now need to become teachers. That would probably be very stressful. Some people like baking cookies. That's not me. I like eating cookies. I don't like making them. Yep. And so when we allow for our unique gifts, we allow for something beautiful to happen. I think of the block party as an example. And from my understanding, someone had an idea about 15 years ago to do this amazing thing called the block party. And the church supported it. The church rallied around it and something beautiful happened. And it was unique for that people at that time. But I do want to say this. Here's the danger that we can continue something simply because of tradition. This last year, I think the block party was a success, and I'm not making a comment about next year at all. But perhaps the block party might not go on forever. Why? Because when we say yes to one thing, we say no to something else. And so what else might take its place? And if we continue simply because we always have, we may never know, right? We may never know what could come about. The church is different now than it was 5 years ago. In fact, it's different than 5 months. And so I think as we talk about this and we talk about 1 Corinthians 12:21, we need to be open to fresh ideas and fresh dreams. And what might God be doing with this unique set of individuals right now? Because whenever somebody comes in and becomes a part of this church, it changes the organism. And so what is God doing with all of your unique skills and abilities? The body recognizes the role of each member, and the body recognizes their unique contributions. A hand does things that an eye cannot, and an eye does things that a hand cannot. And when it recognizes that, and when it recognizes the beauty and the complexity, it's healthy, and the body flourishes. So what has God gifted this body with at this time with these people? What unique contributions do you have? Once again, I believe you have them. What do you love to share with others? Share them. Because what we do affects others. 1 Corinthians 12:26-27. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it, right? We talk about that toothache. The whole body suffers. But if one part is honored, every part rejoices. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. If my tooth hurts, it affects what makes it into my stomach, and then it affects what is allowed to empower my muscles. If you stub your toe, your whole body is affected. If you damage your finger, your whole body is aware, right? If you hurt your finger on your hand, your other hand has to compensate. It just makes it difficult. This is the same for church, that your absence or your presence is felt. And you know, we could talk about busy lives. I get it. I have 4 kids and, you know, we intentionally keep them to one extracurricular activity because if we didn't, it would just be chaos and our schedules would be like way too full. So I get it that protecting family is important. Protecting your time is important. But I've tried to be creative with this, that I've started looking for opportunities for my kids to serve or invite them into ways that they can serve alongside of me. And as a parent, I encourage you to think about that. How could my kids serve within the local body? What are their gifts? What are their talents? What are their abilities? And what can they do along with you? What do they see me doing? And I think one of the best predictors of a child's future behavior is their parents' present behavior. So what do they see you doing? And if they see you serve, they'll be more likely to serve as well, and especially if you invite them into that. And I think that could be beautiful. We make time for that which is important to us. We can't do everything. I realize that different seasons call for different obligations. And so I invite you to reflect, what might the Spirit be calling to you to this season in your life? What might God be stirring in your heart? He might be encouraging you to do more. He also might be encouraging you to do less. Maybe you serve too much, and perhaps I'm shooting myself in the foot as the pastor. Churches run on volunteer support, right? But if you're suffering or your family is suffering, it's not worth it. And perhaps you need to take steps to protect yourself and your family. Because I do believe that God gives the church what it needs, and the church gives what it needs to hurting members. And that gift can include rest. If a member is pain, the body gives it special attention. It gives it special attention so that it can be healthy again, so that it can serve again. Yesterday, I ran, and I ran a lot, and I was really sore. I'm still, in fact, really sore. I was wondering if I was going to have to preach from a stool, because my legs are so sore. But my body recognizes that. And so today, I'm going to sit with a heat pad, and I'm not going to go for a run. If I just was just like, no legs, you're going to get out there and you're going to run today. You're going to run 12 miles. I would not be honoring my body. In fact, I'm going to let my legs rest so that I can continue in health. And so that maybe in a week or two, I can run again. So I'm saying this, prayerfully consider your life. Where's your time and attention? You are a part of the body, whether you like it or not. And that has implications. If we abdicate, the body suffers. If we contribute, the body rejoices. You've been given gifts that, when employed, bring joy and human flourishing. So what are they? This isn't about guilting, but this is about inviting you into something that is rewarding and enjoyable. So at this point, I'd like to talk about some practical steps, some practical advice that you might implement to determine, man, what unique skills and abilities, things do I have to bring to the body of Christ? Here's some practical steps. Spiritual tests are good. Perhaps you might have taken one. In fact, I still remember that when I took a spiritual gifts test, I got one thing, and it was scripture reader. So there you go. I do enjoy reading scripture out loud. Spiritual tests are good. The point of that, spiritual tests are good, but it also takes a fair amount of self-reflection and discernment as you engage your history. So I'm going to provide you with three questions, and I encourage you to write these questions down and to take some time over the next week or two to decide some time to reflect on these. Maybe go to your favorite coffee shop, grab your pen, journal, whatever. Here's the three questions. The first question is, what do I enjoy? Simply, what do I enjoy doing? For me, it was playing guitar. I loved playing guitar. I could spend hours in my room playing guitar. What is it for you? What creative endeavors fill your soul? What hobbies and activities generate life for you? There's no right or wrong answer, and you're not asking the question, how can I use these right now? I just want you to think through, what do I enjoy doing? Is it gardening? Is it serving your neighbor? Is it spending time with people and hearing their stories? There's no right or wrong answer at this point. What do I enjoy doing? Take some time. Write whatever comes to your mind. Don't censure yourself. There's no wrong answer. That's the first question. The second question that I want you to ask is, what am I good at? What am I good at? Over time, I gained proficiency with the guitar, and I'm good at the guitar. And this is not an opportunity for you to be like overly self-modest or humble in the sense of, I don't think humility discounts skills or abilities. So just recognize, like, what am I good at? What am I good at? Not a time for false humility. The third question is, what do others affirm in me? What skills do others recognize that I have? What have people told me I'm good at? And maybe it's in this last week or month or year, or maybe you just consider the whole of your life. What have people affirmed me in? What have others recognized that I'm good at? Right? So I picked up the guitar. I got good. I knew that I had a level of proficiency. And then other people started saying, yeah, you're pretty good. And more opportunities came. This doesn't have to be a skill or ability. This could be a character trait. Maybe people recognize that you're a really good listener. And you hold that space for people. What have others affirmed you in? There's no wrong answer, like I said, to any of these questions. Once you have these answers, review your life. That might be a good starting place, a good indication of where God might be leading you. Have a conversation with your spouse or someone who knows you well. Have a conversation with me. I would love to learn your answers to these questions. And it's at the intersection of these questions, like I said, that I think you might begin to see where God might be leading you. So these are three questions with one purpose. The purpose is to bless. The purpose is to bless others and yourself. Let's not discount the role of the Holy Spirit. As you review these questions, ask the Holy Spirit for insight. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you so that you might love others. Like I said, I would love to have coffee or lunch with you and hear about these. You could also, I would encourage you to send me your answers to my email, lewis@northpark.cc. I would love to hear your thoughts and your dreams. And here's a bonus question for you to consider. What do I desire to do? Is there something burning in your heart, a dream that you have, something that we could equip or partner with you in? I think of our Aaron Durland as an example, that he had this dream to provide gift bags to the unhoused in the Eugene and Springfield area. And that was something that the body of Christ was able to step up and help him with and support him. That's super cool. That's an example of the body coming together to do something beautiful. How can we do that for you? This sermon, I realize, has the potential to be about guilt, and that's not my motivation. Getting you to do something that you don't want to do, I don't think that's how we should approach serving within the local church. I think serving within the local church is about empowering you to do what you want to do, right? Because God gives the church what it needs, and you are a gift to North Park. Each of you are a gift to North Park. And so what has God placed in your heart, dreams, desires, skills, abilities, to bless the community? How can you love those in your local church through the joy of giving of your skills and abilities? Let me pray for us.